Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be recapping that loss against Pachuca, previewing the upcoming game against Mazatlán, talking everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América, since today was quite a busy day. We got plenty and plenty to talk about on today's episode. And joining me today to do so, talk all things America, is none other than my own beloved co-host, Chris Rivera. Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Enjoying the rain. I know it's been very rainy on our side of the world. For some reason, I have allergies. That's why I can't show my face, because for some reason, I can't stop crying out of my left eye. I don't know why, but hey, you know, I'm ready to talk about America.
Chris, don't lie to us. You have been crying nonstop since America lost to Pachuca. It's okay. It's okay to tell the truth.
You know what they say, bro? They're Papachuca to us.
Papachuca, yeah. Absolutely. Well, we'll talk about that and as to why we lost to Papachuca. And I think it was one of those games where I think you could have walked away with a draw at least. It's unfortunate that America ended up losing the way that they did, with a couple of mistakes that led to that. But let's just get right into it. Papachuca, right? Coming into this one, we didn't really speak about it, but I don't know. I just had a feeling that this game was just not going to end well for us. I didn't necessarily think we're going to lose this game, but I just thought Pachuca away, Hidalgo, it feels like with America struggling the way that they have been in recent games, it just feels like it was all culminating for us to have one of those games where you're like, yeah, we aren't firing at full cylinder. And it showcased. I think this is an America game where the less we can reminisce, the better. Because honestly, it just felt like as far as the league form goes, even a little bit in the CONCACAF Champions League, things have just not been piling up well for America. And it just kind of all felt that it was all coming down to this moment. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, America ends up losing this game. So, I mean, I don't know. What's your takeaway from this one?
Just very sloppy football. The goals felt very Emilio Lara, you know. I feel like it could have been prevented. It's one of those things where you watch the game and it doesn't necessarily feel we were the worst team on the field, but we weren't the best either. You know? It feels like we're just sleepwalking. And that's how these games feel like. It's just we're sleepwalking. And it annoys me, because there's moments where I do like what I see. And then we get to their side of the field, right? And nothing goes right. And it feels like we've been dealing with this for a while. Honestly, like, I think the Liguilla, or at least the final against Tigres, you know, I don't want to discredit us. I don't want to be one of those negative fans, right? But it does make you wonder, well, how does the game go what's his name? Forgencio? Did I say his name right?
The full player? Forgencio, yeah.
If he doesn't get a red card, what happens? You know, if Nahuel Guzman doesn't get a red card, what happens? Because I'm not saying we're not deserving champions or anything. That's not my take. My take is more of the offense just looking lost out there. And in that final, it just felt like, you know, we were a very balanced team, but not the team that would take the opportunities that presents itself. You know, and I feel like that's what we're seeing with this America team. And I feel like we saw that early on in Jardine's time with it, right? I mean, early on, we were talking about hot seat, right? And because America came from being one of this high scoring, very aggressive team with San Ortiz, and you kind of said, you know what, you're bringing in Junior Quiñones. We should technically be scoring even more, right? Because he replaces Cabecita, who a lot of people don't like because he's either super hot or he's super cold. And that's just how, you know, I'm seeing it right now. It's just, why are we super cold right now? Why is Jardinet maybe complicating things for the offense? Or is it just simply, you know, because I don't know if it's a chemistry thing either. I think you had enough time to kind of solve that. But it just seems that whenever things do go right, we just don't take advantage of the opportunities in front of us.
I think you hit the nail on the head on that one. It just feels like it's a reoccurring theme with America. And it's odd because we came from America doing so well in the latter half of last season, scoring goals after goals, kind of just getting themselves looking like prime Brazil, right? And that was the reoccurring joke in on America Twitter was, you know, this Jardinet side playing like prime Brazil. And it just seems that, you know, like you mentioned, it's a sleepwalking phase. America's in a slump. Like I've made this comparison or I made this analogy, I think a little bit too often now this season. It feels like America just can't get themselves out of third gear. Like they can get going and they just kind of stop or they halt themselves in a moment. And you just can't quite understand why. We have players that are capable of doing these things. We have players that are capable of carrying this team, you know, and they're just not showing up. They feel like they're playing like, I don't know, at half, like at 50 or sometimes even 60% when we've seen them at 100. And I don't know how much this rotation has to do. And I don't know how much all these injuries play into a factor. We haven't really had a solid starting 11. Like we haven't really had our best starting 11 since probably the game against what, Querétaro? And that's just kind of one of those things where you're just thinking, okay, like we need to find some consistency here. And we just haven't been able to, whether it's been because of injuries, because of players not playing well, or because of the fact that the manager just wants to rotate. Like, there's just been a lot of inconsistencies with this America side, starting from the starting 11, that kind of trickles over to what we see on the pitch. And I think that's one of those things where you just have to understand, like, okay, what is really going on here? And I don't think we've had an answer. And I don't think we're going to get an answer because from the looks of it, Jardinet, I think, came out to say that he's going to continue to rotate and that he's going to continue to try to get minutes for these players. And it's, you know, on one hand, because of the fact that, you know, he has all these injuries. And on the other hand, too, is that he wants to give minutes to all these players. And it just feels like we're experimenting when we really shouldn't need to be experimenting, Chris.
And that's the frustrating part about it, right? Because what is the first thing that Emilio says after winning the 14th? I want to keep everyone here, you know. We're going to add. We're not going to... If someone leaves, we're going to bring in someone better, right? And I don't have an issue with rotation, honestly. I think it's good to have rotation because I do think we have the quality to do that. But then you kind of have to judge it from a coaching standpoint. Well, why are we making things super complicated, right? I mean, we're in our group chat, and I'm sure everyone else is having this conversation with their friends, families, or randoms on social media. And you're talking about this player isn't doing this player is doing that, you know, this and that. And how much of it is it on the player or is it on the coaching? You know, like, if you're in front of goal and your first thought is to force a pass instead of shooting, who is that on, you know? I remember Leagues Cup. We had this conversation, Ivan, where I think it was again. Honestly, I forgot who we even played. I just know Columbus, right? Who was the first thing we faced?
We played against St. Louis, and we, like, mopped the floor with them, and then...
The game against St. Louis, right? The game against St. Louis. Remember we said this game could have easily been 7-0 if we really wanted to. And there was parts of the game where it's like Quiñones and Henry just kept on passing into each other inside the box and no one decided to shoot. I don't know if you remember that, but it feels mm-hmm. like we're kind of in that situation, right? Sometimes I see two people inside the box, three people inside the box, and instead of going for that cross, you know, hey, bro, I know we haven't had a person that scores headers like crazy, like, you know, that minute. I can't even name. Maybe Viñas was the last person. I would probably say Oribe Peralta was the last person that we were comfortable saying for winning those 50-50 balls, but we're not even trying that. I see Chicote or Sendejas on the wing or Kevin or whoever, and they see three people open, two people open. Maybe it's a contested ball. They just pass it back, and it just becomes a mess, and then, you know? So I think the conversation from us fans should be more on the coaching. I know we're going to sit here and we're going to bash players, and it's normal, right? But to me, I see a lot of things being overly complicated by coaching that we saw last year. And hopefully Jardines really says, you know, sits back and says, you know what? I'm complicating you again. Let me just let them do what they do individually, not force anything. And maybe we'll go back to the run that we had right after. I mean, who was it the first game that we had last year that we completely just said, oh, this is different? Was it Chivas? Cruz Azul?
It was the Chivas game. After the Chivas game, yeah. We really went just on a run, on a rampage. Because that Cruz Azul game, remember that we did not, we won it, but we didn't look our best.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, there's a moment in this season, because I'm still a believer in Jardine, but I do think sometimes coaches just get in their way, right? Where it's like, we're going to just pass, and the opportunity is always going to present itself as long as we don't make errors. And sadly, there is players out there making errors, you know, and we could sit here and highlight them as well, but let's not overcomplicate. That's my thing. Just let's not overcomplicate things. Let's do what we did last season. And, you know, maybe the rotation is the reason why you're complicating things because you kind of want to be safe. But there has to be a point where you just have to say, you know what? I have to go back to what I was already doing.
I don't know if it's so much overcomplicating things, because you mentioned let's let these players do what they do individually. But these players individually speaking haven't been performing well. I mean, one prime example is Cabecita, right? Someone that you think has been dying for minutes, but just doesn't seem like he's won any of them. I mean, you see right here, Ricardo puts it, Cabecita looks like he doesn't want to play for America anymore. He wants to go to MLS. And Miguel Myers saying, yep, Cabecita was bad. He missed that open low curling shot that he usually nails. So it's just, and not just a signal on Cabecita, but I mean, Diego Valdez has been shockingly bad ever since the Liguilla. Like, he has not found his form. Quiñones, you guys already know how I feel about him. Henry Martin, again, another player that, yes, I know he was ill. I know that he's been injured, but again, he hasn't looked his sharpest. And Neca's another prime example. Like, there's just a lot of variables here that I feel like, yes, I do understand that the coaching does play a role. And I would argue that I think we've become too predictable. I think teams know how to play against us. And that is my frustration, because one of the things that a lot of people kind of highlighted, or at least the players did when Jardine was announced and incorporated into the team, was that this America side was going to be very versatile, that they were going to be able to adapt to different playing styles, and that they weren't going to be so kind of rigid like they were under Tano. But I would make the argument that we just look the same. Like we don't have answers for these teams that know how to sit deep, block spaces. Like, all they have to do is force us wide. And if we cross the ball, like you mentioned, we don't have a real contender in there that's going to win the headers. So their defense is easily going to clear that out. And whenever we do try to kind of break the lines, play 1-2 quick passes, there just seems to be no creativity from our players to kind of unlock this defense. And I think that's where it goes back to, okay, yes, the manager plays a role in setting up how this team plays, but the players too need to kind of, you know, step it up and play to their game and to their level. And I think right now we're at a crossroads here where the players aren't really understanding themselves, and neither is the coaching staff kind of understanding the tactics perfectly on kind of how to break down these teams. And then we're coming up with, like, you know, poor results in an America that looks like they're very much at like 50%. And so I think that's one of the main factors. And I think that's one of the more frustrating factors, because we all see it, but yet no one does anything about it. And it's not until hopefully this loss against Pachuca wakes them up and says, okay, our approach hasn't been working. It hasn't been working for the past couple of games. I would argue that Real Esteli game didn't really convince any of us in regards to that victory. And I don't think it should have convinced the players either. So now we're at a crossroads, like I mentioned. And now I really do want to see a much better side against Mazatlan, right? We have this game coming up. And no discredit to Mazatlan. I know they pulled off a pretty good result against Chivas. So I know that they're going to come in and try to do something. But we're playing at home. We have to do our best and kind of just blow them out of the water if possible. And take this as an opportunity to learn how to deal with teams that are going to sit back and kind of low block you. And how can you unlock a defense like that? This is a perfect practice, perfect opportunity. So that way when you go and you play against these other teams that are not going to kind of go like for like, we're very great at exposing other teams that come and take the game to us just as much as we take the game to them, because then that means we have spaces to kind of open into and they're not necessarily already waiting for us sitting back. And so I think that's kind of important to highlight. So we'll see. I really don't know what the answer is here for America. Just like you, I'm on Jardine's side until the moment presents itself otherwise. But we need to find an answer. We need to find it quickly, because this game against Pachuca cannot happen again, right? And it's just unfortunate because the meme continues, right? Papa Pachuca and the everything that we spoke about last season, that we were breaking these kind of curses, it seems like it was all reverted back. And now we're in that same position again where, okay, the stereotypical, oh, this happens at America all the time in these situations, is happening again. And Chris, I don't think we can afford that, because the more I look into it, the more I'm thinking, yeah, this side is 100% having campeonitis.
Oh yeah, definitely, you know, and it's hard, right? It's really, maybe it is that, but at the same time, you kind of start thinking about other stuff, right? You start to think maybe it was a mistake not bringing in more quality players, because let's be honest, you know, there's players on this team that we've been having questions, not from just last year, not just now. We've had questions about them for a while, right? Richard Sanchez, for example, right? Let's say Jonah at, what is he, 33 years old? What if he's finally on the decline, right? I'm sorry, but I don't trust research scientists, right? Naveda, like, I don't know. I was a big Naveda fan when he first came out of the academy. Then he had his injury, and he just hasn't been the same, you know? Do I trust a player like him? Well, he needs to kind of prove that before anything, you know? And he hasn't really proven that. So for me, I kind of question, maybe this window we should have let go of Richard, right? Cabecita, right? You hear that he has an MLS offer. Well, if he leaves in April, right, or March, well, what are we doing not letting him go sooner, right? There was Cruz Azul interest. Why didn't we just say, you know what, he's leaving? It's the same thing with Leo Suarez, right? Like, I know you bring in Gavito, and don't get me wrong, I have patience with him. I know a lot of people are saying he needs to come in, be a starter day one. He speaks a different language. It's a different culture, new teammates, new system, new everything. Like, I don't care how talented you are, you have to adapt, right? So for me, I have patience with him. I know a lot of people probably aren't going to have patience if he doesn't show out in the next two or three games. But for me, I have patience with him. But that should have been a thing that, when Necaxa was interested in Leo Suarez, okay, you know, go there. You're going to go to a team that's going to be fighting to go a repechaje instead of a potential contender. You know, it just, I don't know. I think if they were going to stick to the idea that, hey, we're going to stick with everyone, they should have just stuck with everyone, you know, and not do this. Because if Cabecita is leaving, who do you bring in, right? Everyone's talking Carlos Vela. Let's be honest, bro. He hates Mexico. He's not a realistic option. And neither at the price tag that he's going to be asking for. Like, why would we bring someone that is declining and give him that much money? It's just not smart, you know? And so for me, it's just one of those things where, like you said, maybe it is Campinitti. Maybe it is just simply these guys party too hard and they're still crudos, right? Remember, some players came in kind of late to their to the preseason, right? To the point that they couldn't even start the first week against Cholos. Hey, maybe, you know, but at the same time, we still had questions for some of these players. So, you know, I guess in the end, we're going to find out if Jardinek could fix this, or we're going to sit here and say, hey, it was a mistake to keep all these players. You know, Baños or whoever runs all that should have let them go and had someone ready. And maybe in the summer, we do that. But right now, Jardinek is the one that has to really fix things. And if we're still going to stick with rotations, you know, hey, like, let's make sure that you're understanding what the players feel and what they want too. You know, if maybe they don't fit what you've been asking your starting 11 to do, right? I don't know, but I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens. We have a really tough road. You know, I seen someone post the calendar, and it's the next 20 days is Cruz Azul, Atlas, Chivas, Tigres, Chivas, Chivas. A road,
yeah, like, it's not an easy tournament, and I mean an easy turnaround, and also it's a lot of games coming in a very short period of time.
Yeah, so and maybe the friendly against Cruz Azul is a good thing, you know. I don't know, what is that, before or after or during that?
No, that's after everything.
Oh, never mind. So, but either way, you know, like Jardine needs to just. If your priority is CONCACAF, then you have to go all out. You don't have to worry about anything else, right? Because they made it clear that that was their priority.
And I think when you hear more of Jardine, that is the priority, because he said, right, the objective is to keep and to stay in the first top four spots of the league. And kind of hinting that, okay, if we drop all the way to fourth, we're okay. Like, that's kind of our safety net. Which, again, it's not something that you want to hear as an America fan. But look, if we're going to put all our chips on that CONCACAF Champions League, then, okay, then we knew that this was going to be kind of one of those things where, all right, we're going to have to suffer a little bit in the league, but ultimately it should pay off if at the end of the day we're lifting the trophy, right? Because if we do end up lifting the CONCACAF Champions League and we qualify to the Liguilla in, like, fourth place, then I think all of us are looking at this one like, okay, fine, worth it, right? Worth every second of the misery leading up to that victory where we lift that trophy, that long, long coveted trophy that we have not been able to lift in such a long time. So I do think that we're in this kind of situation where, okay, we need to kind of, I don't want to say taper our expectations in regards to this team. I don't think that's exactly what needs to happen, but I do feel like, okay, let's kind of halt it for a little bit, because look, I think we all were praising Baños and America for kind of keeping the core structure of this team, right? Not a lot of players left. I think the biggest one that left was Leo Suarez, right? And we all kind of were like, okay, well, they bought in Jovito, and you thought, like for like, kind of, maybe this guy's an upgrade. Cool. But now I think Midwestern Cholo saying, right, Baños did a terrible job in the winter market, in my opinion. And that kind of comment keeps surfacing in and around the Americanismo. Just like you mentioned right now, Chris, right? Like, we should have done a better job, let these players go, brought in more better talent. So, again, we're at a crossroads here as fans. One moment we were praising this side for keeping the core players, and now we're kind of in that situation where we're thinking, well, was that the best avenue for us to take? Maybe we should have gotten rid of this player. Maybe we should have gotten rid of that player. And so, you know, we're sitting here and we're kind of nitpicking at it all when in reality, okay, it's not the worst place to be in right now. I mean, one loss and I think what, two draws and then the rest are wins. Like, you're still in a pretty good spot in the table. It's still kind of early days into the season that I think, all right, a good run would help America here out a lot. But like you mentioned, a lot of games coming up in these next couple of weeks that you're thinking, okay, you're not gonna have a lot of wiggle room. So you can go on a pretty good run, but you're not gonna go up against the easiest of players. So I think this Mazatlan game comes at a perfect moment for America, if I'm being completely honest. It means that we have an opportunity to kind of kickstart our season once again with a good, comfortable win against Mazatlan. And then it brings us to this game against Cruz Azul, and where we try to kind of, again, take a step forward. Because if you beat Cruz Azul, a team that's kind of up there in the ranks right now, again, you start feeling good. And that just catapults you, because then you start thinking, okay, I need to start preparing for Chivas. I need to start preparing for CONCACAF Champions League. Yes, we have Tigres, and yes, we have these games coming up. But the most important part is being prepared for that CONCACAF Champions League game, because there's going to be two very highly intense legs in where you're going to need to be playing at your utmost best, right? And so we'll see what happens from there on. But yeah, it's an interesting time right now at America. And I don't know exactly whether things are necessarily going to start playing out for the better or for the worst. And I think Mazatlan is going to be a good indication. And again, not to say that we're going to read too much into that game, but it's a good stepping stone for America if we can get the points. And so then afterwards, focus on Cruz Azul. But yeah, you guys mentioned Javito. Chris, talk to me a little bit about the new signing. You like what you see from him? I like how you put it. You tweeted this out, and I thought it was perfectly well put. Javito should have not been rushed to be a starter for this Pachuca game. And I think I agree with you. I we saw sparks of him, and I think him coming off the bench was the best thing right now for him. I don't think it necessarily merited him to get a start. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
It's just he still needs to adapt. You know, it's a new team, it's a new country, it's a new team, it's new teammates. It's just, I think people's expectations are super high on him. And don't get me wrong, bro. Like, I mean, as much as I'm a believer in Sendejas, and I'm an apologist to an extent, right? Because I'll sit here and tell you, like, hey, what he does defensively and in the midfield is very key to a lot of things that people won't ever give any attack credit for. With that being said, Javito's super talented, and I do think that eventually he will start. But in this game against Pachuca, he looked lost. He looked like he didn't really know what to do. He'd get the ball and he'd lose it. And he really wouldn't track back either when he'd lose it. Like, he just didn't seem comfortable out there. And I think we really need to just not push it. You know, if you push it, you're going to, like, see someone's confidence just go completely down. And that's not what we want. We need to let this guy develop into this, you know. I know that he started because of the need of Valdez, right? Valdez was where to play. I don't think you see Sendejas, or you don't see Javito start. You see them on the right side. But you had to see Sendejas as a 10 because there's no one else that could play, even though I think Javito probably would have done better as a 10 in this game than Sendejas. I think, you know, Javito, like what I've seen, you know, he's super talented. I don't think he is a different player. When you see him cut in, when you see him shoot, right, he is this different talent. With that being said, you know, you got to look at it from a human standpoint. You know, he's barely getting used to his teammates. He's barely getting used to this country. He's barely getting used to this field. He's everything. He's barely getting used to it. So for me, like, you know, you're going to see people, like, bash on him if he doesn't show out in the next 2-3 games, you know. But for me, it's like, you know what, let's give the kid time. You know, he's going to do good. The talent's there. No one's going to sit here and tell me it's not. It's there, you know, but you just have to just be patient. You know, it's, like I said, just because he was already playing with Feyenoord, right, doesn't mean that it's not going to impact him from just everything. You really have to sit here and just let him just adapt to being at the club.
I agree that there has to be an adaptation period, right? And I think that's why I felt a little bit off to see him start right away. But I think you're right. It's because of the demand, right? Valdez went down. He felt like, okay, you needed someone to kind of slot into this team. And you felt that from this performances that he was given. And I don't know from probably from what they see in practice too. I mean, that plays a factor in it as well. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But you're right. There's going to be criticism coming around for Jovito if he doesn't perform. And a little bit of the criticism already started. I mean, a lot of people are already kind of talking about, you know, whether or not he should have started. Ricardo saying, you know, Jovito's allergic to playing defense. And this is something that I think you can attest to because Zendejas does it so well. And, you know, this guy's not really tracking back as much as Zendejas does. So again, there's that adaptation period, understanding what the manager wants from you, understanding kind of the league, the play, your teammates, all of that. And that comes with time, of course. You know, there's some of those players that are naturally gifted and can kind of adapt themselves in days, weeks. And there's other players that just naturally need months. And so hopefully for Jovito, he fits somewhere in between. And we get the best of him, you know, in these upcoming games, because he's going to be detrimental in these games against Chivas, right? In these three games against them. And he's going to get a lot of minutes and he's going to get a lot of looking. And I mean, what better way to do it than on the biggest stage wearing an America jersey in a Clásico? So we'll see what happens with Jovito. Again, I think it's just one of those things where we have to give him some time to adapt. And then again, we'll see the best of the Dutchman. So we'll see what happens from there. And Christopher Murray is saying, Idrizi from Pachuca had a similar period of adapting coming from Feyenoord. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, okay, give some time, should adapt, and then we'll just take it from there. So we'll see what happens. But with that said, anything else to add on in regards to this loss against Pachuca, Chris?
No, nothing. I think we covered everything. It was a tough loss, you know. I think maybe we're not highlighting that it was a tough loss, because they are a super young team. You know, on paper, we probably should have done way better than when we did, because of the fact that we are champions, the fact that we have veterans on the team, the fact that they're young, you know, and there's no discredit to them, but, you know, it's just one of those games where it happens. I will say this, though. Israel Reyes should never play center back ever again with this club, and he'll be a right back. And I know a lot of people are coming at Kevin Alvarez. Personally, I think Jardinet is not, or not, maybe it's not Jardinet, maybe just the staff overall. They didn't pay attention to Kevin Alvarez' injury, because I don't know if you remember, but after the CONCACAF Champions League game, they said that they were going to let him rest a week, and they put him for this game. I don't know why. To me, you got a same thing. If Israel Reyes is playing good as a right back, let him keep playing, right? If your starter is Kevin, cool, but you got to let him rest. You got to let him be healthy. Because which goal was it? I don't know if it was a goal or there was a shot where Malagón blocked it, but it was a header from, what was that? Rondon? Is it Rondon? The
striker? Rondon.
Where he headers it and Malagón saves it. And right away I said, you know what, if that was Ramón Juárez, he clears it. Because he beat Israel Reyes, like Israel Reyes in front of him. There's no reason for Ramón to win that. But for whatever reason, he beat him. And then Israel Reyes, Malagón blocked it. For me, Ramón Juárez should be if he's not starting, he needs to be the second option. And Israel Reyes should just stick to the right back. I know a lot of people came at Kevin Alvarez, but I will look at it from a human standpoint and say, you know what, this guy's coming from a serious injury where he was injecting himself. He's rusty. A lot of people also said it. You know, when he was in Pachuca, and there was always debates between him, Jorge Sanchez, and Julian Alvarez, right? I would always say, you know what, Araujo, my bad, not Alvarez. I was always finding out, you know, none of these guys could defend. You know, I don't know why people would always hit on Jorge Sanchez, but to me, these other guys don't defend that well either. And we're kind of seeing it right now. He's not a great defender either, but let's also look at it from a human standpoint that he's coming from an injury. He was injecting himself from the pain, like, hey, you know, and the coaching staff needs to look at that and say, you know what, Rodriguez is doing good. We got rid of Lara for the same reason. The next guy up did a better job. Let's keep playing. I mean, it's not forced things, you know, because if we're forcing stuff and that's what causes these games, well, you know, we're going to just continue blaming the coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Midwestern Cholo saying he agrees with you, right? That worries him if an injury is serious and it takes time to heal. So I do hope that America doesn't rush. And look, this hasn't been a trending factor for Jardine or his coaching staff. They never really rush players, right? I mean, Henry's a perfect example. I felt like Henry's been more injured under this new coaching staff than he has been in any other coaching team that we've had. So again, we'll see what happens. I agree with you. I think Israel Reyes on the right has signed his look well. Let's keep him there for the meantime until Kevin is back and he's gotten himself back into the rhythm of things. And yeah, this squad situation is so weird. Like he's performed so well in almost every single game that he's been given. And yet this seems like there's no confidence in him from a manager that really truly had a lot of confidence in him in San Luis. So again, it's baffling to say the least, but yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, a couple of mistakes. And unfortunately, America never really gets out of third gear. And that's why we end up losing against Papa Pachuca. So we'll hopefully try to revert that if and when we do see them again, either later down the road or probably next season. So we'll see what happens in that aspect. But okay, Chris, that is America versus Pachuca, or better said, Pachuca versus America. A terrible loss, 3 points dropped in that sense. And I guess we just gotta take our licking and keep on taking. So we'll see what happens going moving forward for America. But all right, before we talk Mazatlan and everything else, let's talk about a little bit of club news. This is quite a big day for America today, as they have gone into the Mexican stock market. Twitter was going crazy. But before I get into that, I'm just going to be releasing the bonus trivia question that we have for today's podcast. So make sure if you guys haven't done so already, you guys go click on that, answer the question, and hopefully round up the points. Trivia is getting interesting at the top of the table. There is like a good 5-6 names that are going back to back to back with questions answered, bonus questions. So really just take advantage of all these opportunities to get as many points on the board. Help yourself climb the table and get ready for this Thursday, as we're going to be releasing the weekly trivia podcast over on our Twitter. So hopefully you guys are enjoying trivia. Again, this has been so much fun to do, and we can hopefully continue this for another month and a half as to when we get to April. So there it is, you guys' bonus question on the chat. And you guys can go click that link and go answer the question. And yeah. All right. Talking Club America news. Like I said, today, February 20th, was a big, huge day for America, as they officially have been listed in the Mexican stock market. And a lot of questions, a lot of false information on Twitter or on the internet. Chris, and I feel like a lot of America fans hear about this and they're just kind of like, okay, so what does this mean, or what is this all about? And because of all the questions and because of all the misinformation, we're actually going to have a very special edition of the Eagle Eye podcast, where we're going to sit down, we're going to talk in regards to the details as to what this means for America, what does this mean for you as a fan going forward. And there's just a lot of little intricates that kind of need explaining, because there's a lot of misinformation that you find on the internet from sources that you would think are very much credible, but come to find out they really aren't. So we'll go into the details of it all, but I just kind of wanted to give people kind of an idea of what's going on with America and the Mexican stock market. And that way, come Sunday when we record, we'll release the podcast on Monday, people can listen, have a better understanding, and kind of know where this team is going forward in regards to this financial, new coming. And so, yeah, I mean, first of all, I want to hear your take, Chris. What did you think about everything going on today in the world of Las Águilas del América, seeing them in the stock market, hearing all these numbers, hearing all these terms that you just don't necessarily hear on a regular Tuesday when it comes to América?
I'm going to be completely honest with you, brother. I'm completely ignorant when it comes to a lot of these things. Maybe like, I'll know stuff, right? It'll be like, oh, I didn't know I knew that. But for me, it's just more of the fan side of things, right? Where it's just like, man, like, now we could compete with, like, these big signing players, right? Like, maybe if this happened during the whole Sergio Ramos thing, maybe we do get it finalized, right? It becomes one of those things where, you know, it's just going to be ran differently. Now it's going to really depend on people's money, right? So, like, all the complaints that we had about Baños, like, hey, like, now there's going to be people coming at him saying, like, hey, the product that you're giving is making me lose money. Like, I need you to boost it up and stuff, you know, or bring in better players. If I'm not mistaken, it's probably going to be like a council that will say, like, suggest signings. I don't know if that's how it works. I'm sure we're going to get into that on Sunday. But I don't know. I just look at it from that perspective. When it comes to, like, me putting money and all that, bro, I don't know. I'm scared. What if I get on the wrong website and buy the wrong thing?
Some Nigerian prince has all your has all your money.
Yeah. See, like, when it comes to all that, like I said, I'm ignorant, but I have to just look at it from a fan standpoint. I'm excited. Now there's no really, you know, excuse for us to not finalize a big name. Or maybe there'll be competition, but now it's like, we could compete with your Saudi Arabias, I guess, or from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, from a fan perspective, this is very exciting. Like you should really look into this and be like, okay, like, this is really good, right? Like, exciting type of level where you're just like, all right, yes. Now, look, with these type of things, there's always there's always going to be these kind of fluctuations as to what really is going on with America and their finances. So just to kind of give you guys a quick rundown and you know, we'll get into the more finer details of things this Sunday when we record, and you guys will be able to hear that on Monday. But so America is no longer under Televisa. Well, they are, but it's kind of a subsidiary kind of company. Now they're under the control of Oyamani, right? And guess who still owns Oyamani? Well, lo and behold, Escarraga. But America kind of falls into a bracket of different companies under Televisa with that name of Oyamani. So the stock that people are buying not necessarily just contains America. So when people are buying their stock, it's not necessarily, oh, I'm buying a piece of America. Technically, yes, but you're also buying a piece of the Estadio Azteca. You're also buying a piece of their casino, of their magazine distribution. So it's a bunch of companies put in together, and where, look, not all this money is necessarily going to be injected into America. I would assume a good chunk of it will be, but also a good chunk will be going towards the Estadio Azteca, which I think is going to have priority over America because of the remodeling, because of the World Cup. So, you know, there's kind of ups and downs with all of this. And yes, look, America is going to definitely benefit from all of this, but just understand and know that there is a lot of stuff working in the background, but it's not to say that you shouldn't be discouraged as a fan of what's going on. And also, I know a lot of people have been asking, well, how can I buy this? And I know there was a lot of misinformation on Twitter and on websites saying that America was going to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange and that they, you know, people were going to be able to buy stocks here in the States. That was 100% false. Do not believe any word that you hear from that. And I know that Fox Sports mentioned it in an article. ESPN Deportes, I believe, put some misinformation out there as well. So really, and look, this is not to say that we know it all, but just follow our advice, at least as far as what we give you guys, present to you guys in information, and you guys will be up to date with everything. So if you do want to purchase stocks, it is possible to do it here in the United States. You're just going to have to go through a brokerage that offers international trading. And I know for some of you, you're saying, what does that even mean? But look, it's just a quick Google. Just type in brokerages that offer international trade and you can just kind of go. It's simple. You just sign up and then you're eventually able to purchase stock. And then let's talk about the number real quickly about America. because it actually debuted it with some really, really big skyrocketing prices in regards to how it was trending. So when the stock market opened in Mexico at, what was it, 8:30 local time, 8:30 in the morning, America stock was at 11.50, right? 11 pesos, basically. As it transcended and as the hours came going by, it kept rising and rising and rising and rise up to upwards of 160%. At one point, the highest price, I think, was 34.50, actually. So 34 pesos and 50 cents. That was the highest that it traded at. And a total of 4,109 sale volume, which basically means that was, it got traded 4,109 times. So, look, it was a good opening day for America in the stock market. It was pretty decent. I expect the stocks to kind of mediate and level out. And the way these things are going to be working going forward is, okay, the results on how America is doing are going to correlate with the price. And the more and the better that America does, the higher the stock is going to be, meaning when people are going to go in and invest, they buy it at a higher price range, right? If the results aren't coming in, and like you mentioned, Chris, if what America is doing isn't generating revenue, isn't really kind of making them stand out in a positive light, then the stock's going to drop, meaning less money is going to be kind of pumped into America when eventually more people trade the stock, when more people buying into it and all that good stuff. So it has its ups and its downs, but know that this is an added stream of revenue for America, meaning that they're still going to depend on all these other forms of revenue, right? Ticket sales, sponsors, merchandise, player sales, all that good stuff. But now this stock market, now this avenue of being listed on the stock market means that there is now an extra sum of cash that's going to be flowing into America that you mentioned, Chris, is going to help America compete with these bigger names, with these bigger clubs to kind of attract these bigger names. And so the era of bombazos could be back in a kind of a nutshell. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll absolutely see. And yeah. Well, we'll see what's going on. Like I mentioned, we're going to go into detail. We're going to go in depth with a very special episode that we're going to drop on Monday. And you guys are going to have hopefully all your questions answered. And if you guys have any questions whatsoever, tweet us, DM us, and we'll do our best to answer it to the best of our abilities. And again, yeah, a promising day for America at the stock market. They had a whole kind of event at the Mexican stock market. They took pictures, threw confetti. I thought it was the craziest thing. I've never really expected them to have quite the party that they did. But yeah, the shares are looking good. People are buying them. It's trading at a very good price for a beginning stock. And yeah, Chris, what more can we say?
Who would have thought that we would have been talking about all this, right? Yeah, I remember when Necaxa brought out their crypto characters or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
their NFTs, you know, like, hopefully we don't go that route, but
no, I don't think we would. It's not a smart choice to go down that route right now with how flimsy NFTs have been in the past year or so. But I just want to mention Midwestern Cholo saying Fidelity, Charles Schwab and TD Ameritrade are some good options to use. So those are some brokerages that you guys can use to try and acquire some stocks for America. I personally am using Fidelity. What I will tell you guys this right now, for those of you who want to use Fidelity, give them at least 24 hours. Or hopefully by the time you guys are listening to this, it's been all sorted out. I was on the phone with them this morning trying to acquire the stock. It is kind of in their system to pull up, but it isn't necessarily available for purchase. So they submitted a ticket in. Hopefully it's all been sorted out. So by the time that you guys are listening to this and trying to go through the Fidelity route, that stock is going to be available for you guys to purchase. And you guys can now own a piece of America and a couple of other things like the Estadística, the casino, and all this other stuff. But of course, the stock is under the name Águilas, so it's kind of marketed and kind of pushed towards Americanistas because, again, America is going to be the one that benefits mostly out of this because that's honestly what the most of the money is going to be used for once the Estadística is kind of finalized and done with. So yeah, should be fun, should be interesting. And Ricardo saying Haaland to America confirmed by the Eagle Eye podcast. I don't know if we can necessarily confirm it, but I think it's we'll give it a good 90% chance of happening. How about that? 90% with a 10% chance of it falling through, Chris.
Hey, what happened with the whole percent thing that you and Christian were talking about last time?
Yeah. Yeah, with the...
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, with the 2% chance that Fidalgo stays, and he ended up staying. So, it's... we'll see what happens. But yeah, big day again for America in the stock market. And yeah, I mean, other news for we have in regards to America... you mentioned it. We do have a friendly coming up against Cruz Azul. So hashtag Tour Aguila is back here in the United States. For those of you who live in Southern California, like me, myself, and Chris, America is going to be coming down to Dignity Health Sports Park, the home of the LA Galaxy. And that's going to be on March 28th. And we'll be there to talk and cover the America game. So if you guys have a chance, tickets are on sale, I believe, already to the general public. You guys can go purchase that either via Ticketmaster or Ticketon. No, not Ticketmaster. Excuse me. ANX or AXC. What is it, Chris? I always mess that one up.
I think it is ANX, right? I just know there's an A and there's an X. I don't know what the middle letter is, but I think it is.
I don't know if there's an E or an and, but still, just go down the Ticketon route. I think that's what the one they kind of push for the most part. So yeah, that's going to be coming up next month as well. Obviously, the international break is why America is doing all of this. But still, nice to see that they're going to be coming back here to the States. Nice to see that they're going to be coming to our backyard. And hopefully, a handful of you guys can go out there. We can see you guys, say hello and all that good stuff. And yeah, as far as what I have in regards to news for America, do you have anything else, Chris?
I'm not sure we got to talk about the whole Cabecita thing. Did we?
No, I don't think we've been able to. Obviously, right, the rumor is that two MLS sides, unnamed MLS sides, I don't know if they've been named at the moment. I haven't really seen anything.
I saw Portland. But
apparently, Portland.
I saw okay. Portland. I don't forget. I think Atlanta was the other one, but I don't know.
Okay, so, I mean, two sides that are looking to kind of acquire Cabecita. Will it get through? I would imagine that they would try to get this done as much as possible. Edgar saying Portland and Dallas. Portland and Dallas were the two teams. So you got Portland right, Chris.
Edgar, yeah.
Thank you for correcting us there. Look, I don't know if this is going to go through. It's a big... I would say it's a huge loss on us because as far as depth goes, he's a big piece. But I think Christian would argue that there isn't, he hasn't really performed to the America standard. So, I mean, I don't know. Ricardo says it, right? Cabecita wants out. You know, he's kind of playing in that sense. And, you know, I don't know. Do we part ways with him or not? It's going to be interesting. I mean, if the offer is there and it's a good offer, take it. I mean, the only unfortunate side is you don't really have a window to bring in anyone. Because your window is technically closed. So the only viable option would be a free agent. And Chris, I don't know any good free agent available at the moment that has not been picked up that could come to America.
I looked through the list, bro. And I mean, if you're going to bring someone from outside, right? You're going to kind of have to wait for them to develop as well, right? To get adapted into the league. And like I said, Carlos Vela, you look at him. You're always going to look at the name Carlos Vela because of just what Mexicans have done with his name, right? He's our savior. 2014, we would have won the World Cup if he would have not been rejecting Mexico.
Yeah.
We just painted Carlos Vela as something I think that he isn't. with that being said, you know, I look at the list of free agents, and he probably is the best player, or at least the player that will probably adapt the fastest. And I don't know, man. I mean, you and I have talked about salaries before, right? We get into these conversations about salaries. Can we afford it? Can we not? Well, how old is Carlos? Like 34, 33? You're going to be paying $2 million, $3 million a year for a player that's 33 that isn't going to come in starting. You know, he might want to, but he'll probably give you a half, a really good half, and just not be good anywhere else, right? Which reminds me of like the old Cuauhtémoc days, right? I don't know if you remember that, when he'd only play like a half and he'd give you like the best half ever, but you had to sub him out in the second half.
Yeah, you had to take advantage of it or else it wasn't going to end.
Yeah. And that's how it feels like right now with Carlos Vela. To me, it becomes, it's just, I don't know. Like, I understand the Cabecita slander. Like I said earlier, he's a player that, and he's cold, he's really cold, and when he's hot, he's really hot. But I don't know. To me, tell them, hey, bro, like, their season starts late. You go join them later on. But what Jardines said was, Cabecita wants to stay, but he has a million thoughts going through his head right now. And I'm pretty sure what he means, a million thoughts, he's talking about millions being offered to him. You know, and I don't necessarily yeah. blame him either. You know, he's going to be a DP. He's going to be one of the highest.
Yeah, he's going to give him good money. He's going to get good money.
So I don't blame him, you know? But for us, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, same. Likewise, that's what I was going to say. Just don't kind of... I mean, if the money's there, right, take it. Like, I'm not going to say don't take it, because it would be ludicrous to kind of turn down so much money where you know probably in the next market you won't be able to sell him for that within the league. Or a potential European team, which I don't think they would come in and offer that sum of cash. But like I said, on the negative side of things, you don't really know what that's going to do and how that's going to affect your team going forward. I do feel like we do have enough depth to feel like, okay, we should be fine. But I think it's going to be a situation like Edgar was mentioning, right? We're going to regret it, kind of like Leo Suarez. So I think that we're in a situation where we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. Like you mentioned, is Carlos Vela the answer? Probably not. Like you mentioned, 34 years old. Look, he's in the situation where he's not necessarily a free agent at the moment. He's going to be, but then, you know, there's talk about him potentially renewing. He has other offers on the table for different MLS clubs, potentially Europe. What is going to happen with, kind of, he's up in the air, and I don't think America's crossed his mind whatsoever. So we'll see. I mean, we could be wrong. You never know. I mean, Cabecita might be gone tomorrow, and by Friday, lo and behold, Bella's being announced. So it's going to be one of those things where, sure, there's a possibility, but I highly, highly doubt that it's going to be a viable option for America. And if it's not Vela, then who is it going to be? You know? So. Again, so I know Chris.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, and let me ask everyone that's on the chat right now. How do you guys walk in comfortable with Chava Reyes and Mauro Linus, who, let's remember, he got registered? They're third option, four options. They're not necessarily the next guy up, right? But worst case scenario, you kind of have to put them, one of them in. Are you guys comfortable with it? Are you comfortable with saying, you know what? They're not this quality talent, but they could do the job on a good. Are you guys okay with it? Or is it one of those things where you're just like, that's not what got us to the dance. That's not what got us to the finals. That's not what got us to the championship. We got to bring someone in, because these are players that already had their opportunity and they weren't good enough, right? Like, what is your guys' perspective on them being your third and fourth, not even your second, but your third and fourth option?
Well, I think Midwestern Cholo said, just give me Carlos Vela at 50% instead if you're going to be putting in those players. And I agree. I don't think those players are suitable for America. They're not America quality as, not even for a B team. So, yeah, it's not ideal. And for that reason, again, that's why I would argue, let's keep Cabecita. Let's keep him in in the team and then kind of figure out his situation come summer. Because we need him, right? With all these games, all these rotations that are going to be doing, I just feel like it's the right move for America as far as the actual football goes, rather than the strategic financial decision, which are two different things, right? So, again, I don't know. We'll see. 100% we'll see what happens, but yeah, that's kind of the news that we have right now going on with Cabecita. Will he stay? Will he go? At this point, we're not 100% sure. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. But all right, Chris, let's briefly talk Mazatlán. We're kind of running out of time here. I kind of mentioned it and alluded to it. This is kind of an opportunity for América to kind of get back into the rhythm of things. It's a good chance to kind of practice against a team that's going to give you that low block and kind of sit back and force you to kind of try to open up their defense and really test your creativity. So from your perspective, from what you're seeing, what does this America side need to do that they haven't done in any other game prior to this one to really say, okay, yeah, you know, we're going to be able to kind of break this side down, we're going to score a bunch of goals, and we're going to get back to those winning ways where America was and can still be this dominant force.
Take advantage of every opportunity and create your opportunity. I think, like I said earlier, you know, early on, we seem to overthink things. You know, like if there's a guy inside the box, go for it, cross it. You know, let's not do this pass back until someone's open, because like you said, if they're going to sit back and just wait for someone to just, you know, make a mistake, you know, sometimes those mistakes don't happen. You're going to have to force things. And even if you don't believe, you don't trust a Quiñones headering the ball, or you don't trust Sendejas crossing the ball, or you're afraid of the counter, right? Which a lot of the times that's exactly what ends up happening when you make these risky chances, right? I think you just have to go for it. Mazatlán's going to give you those opportunities. But like they, if they were to go toe to toe with us, I think that's a mistake. And a lot of the times, these teams know that they can't go toe to toe. They can't go 1v1 with us, because when it comes to quality, we're going to be most of these teams when it comes to quality battle. So what are they going to do? They're probably going to sit back. They're going to counter. They're going to hit. They're going to make things ugly. They're going to make things frustrating. Okay. If that's the case, America needs to go and look for these opportunities, force these opportunities. They have to go and cross the ball. They have to trust long shots, right? They have to just trust their talent and not overthink it, because if they sit back, if Mazatlán sits back and says, we're cool with a 0-0, we're never going to attack in this, guess what? They're going to get that 0-0 with the way we've been playing. So I what I want to see is just no more overthinking. If you're in front of goal, don't go for the pass. Shoot it. No? The Sendejas, I'm looking at you, because there's opportunities that you've had, right? Like, as much as I defend you for what you do defensively, I'm not going to defend you for the overthinking that you've been having for the past maybe months, where you're at goal and you go and try to cross it to someone that's not open. You know? Same thing, Quiñones, right? Quiñones needs to find, like, we've been talking about this for what, the past 3-4 games, where Quiñones needs to show why he's the guy, why he was so hyped, why him switching to Mexico was such a big deal. Like, he needs to go out there and show that. He needs to just let it go. Like, be the star player that we've painted you to be, because there's no one else to look at when it comes to that, right? We're sitting here talking about Cabecita. We're talking about Brian Rodriguez. We're not looking at him the same way we look at you. So it's time that Quiñones finally just goes out, you know, shoots. Like, I'm not going to, if you miss shots, I'm not going to judge you for them.
I will.
But when you're, you will, but I won't. Like, for me, like, I'm okay if a player is always in, like, part of play, you know, because there's players that truly go ghost. But for me, like, if you're gonna
you're gonna have these games, and, you know, then let's take away the star and let's just look at you as just any other guy, you know. So I'm looking at him. It's gonna be tough to see if there's rotations or not, but that's the key to win. Just take advantage of everything and force things.
I agree with you, and I'll piggyback off what you said. You said a word that I think is crucial for this America side come tomorrow. Risk, right? Risk. Take more risk. Take more chances. Take players on. Put yourselves in positions where you have to do that 1v1 situation, or else you're going to lose the ball and then they're going to get the counter. I want to see what these players are capable of doing. You're wearing an America jersey. I expect you to be able to juke at least one player on the defensive side of any team, right? Because that's who you are. That's, you should be capable of doing that. And so you're right. A player like Sendejas, right? Which we often see that he had flair. He had opportunities to take players on and just, he shies away from these chances. And I think that's the most frustrating thing about it is you need to take more risk. You need to take more chances. I'm not necessarily saying that those risks have to necessarily accumulate to shots, but they have to be in situations in where you're taking on a player, you're beating a player. Yeah, I understand that you're not always going to be coming out on top in these situations, but I do want to see that effort that, okay, you're running at the defender. You're kind of putting them on their toes and kind of throwing them off balance and then easily breaking down a defense, because once that defense that's sitting so deep, once one player gets beaten, then the rest have to scramble to cover the space. And guess what? Now you have one, two players open in the box and boom, an opportunity for you to score a goal. So I agree with you, Chris. Risk is important. Taking more risk, more chances at kind of running at defenders. And hopefully, you know, things kind of pan out for America in that sense. And as far as Quiñones goes, yes, look, I know I bash on him a lot, but he can easily kind of turn it all around and be the poster child of this America. He can be the face of this America side. And that's huge coming from the fact that we know that Henry right now is the face of America, knowing that Diego Valdez in his moment could be the face of America, but Quiñones himself, he can be the poster child for this team. And so I do hope that he can find that rhythm, find that form. And I mentioned it week after week. I want to see that Quiñones from Atlas. I want to see that Quiñones that takes on players, that does these wildly crazy things, that gets you hyped. A player that takes risks and tries to take on players and stuff like that. And I do hope that we see that, because Quiñones can be a very good player when it comes to being in tight situations or in tight spaces, just the way that Brian Rodriguez works perfectly in this America side, because he's able to get himself out of situations like that, because he's willing to take on players, because he's willing to kind of be a little bit more on the flair side of things and hopefully try to take a player on or two. So I want to see that more from America. I want to see opportunities and chances taken from your Quiñones, from your Fidalgos, from your Diego Valdez, who is not going to be in the starting 11, but I would assume get some minutes to try to get him in form and ready for the game against Cruz Azul. So a lot of things kind of have to fall in place for America. And I know it sounds like it's a huge kind of shopping list for them, but really in reality, it shouldn't be. And these players are capable of doing every single one of these things that we're mentioning. It's just the fact that they're not doing it is what's costing us right now. And so I do hope that as America progresses in the game, they manage it properly. Obviously, we know we're a side that we like to hold on to the ball position, that we'd like to play kind of these 1-2 passes. And so do that, but elevate your game, right? Finally get it at third gear, hit it into fourth, and start scoring goals, start looking like that more well-rounded side. I would hate for this game to end 2-0 for America to walk away with these 3 points and be like, well, it's another one of those situations where we scored early on, never really had an answer, and then like after the 75th, 80th minute, we find ourselves another goal and just kind of call it a day. Like, I want to see an America side that is consistently kind of going at Mazatlán, stepping on their throat, taking chances after chances after chances. You remember last season, we beat them 6-0 at our home. Now, do I expect them to kind of play the same way and we're going to win 6-0? No, but it's doable. And that's what I'm trying to convey, is that this America side is capable of not just scoring six, but more on this Mazatlán side when everything is kind of working together. When all the gears are going, this America side is unstoppable. in all aspects. So Edgar's asking, is this a home or an away game? It's a home game. So the game's going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 9 Central, 10 Eastern. It's going to be played at the Estadio Azteca, Chris. Funny enough. When are we going to be at the out of the Estadio Azteca? I am not too sure. Look, every week we hear something different. So at the moment, let's just enjoy the fact that America is going to be playing at the Azteca. So let's see what happens, Chris. Absolutely excited for tomorrow's game, and hopefully it's a good one for us.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a good one, and hopefully we find that spark, man. Because like I said earlier, like, we can't be sleepwalking in these games anymore. Because that's what it looks like, man. It looks like we're there, but not there. And we have too much quality in individual players to continuously just look asleep. You know, it's a weekday game. A lot of the times, that's how games look like, right? During the weekdays. But hey, you know, hopefully we walk away with a comfortable win.
Absolutely. And like, again, this is a perfect a game midweek, gets you ready to kind of get your mindset into that, because you have a couple of midweek games going on against Chivas, which are going to be super important, super detrimental. So you might as well start practicing firing on all cylinders every other day. So it's a tough ask for America. It's always a tough ask whenever you have to go midweek and kind of do it at 100%. And then again on the weekend and on the midweek. And so far and so forth. So we'll see what happens. Again, should be a good one. Let's see what happens. Ricardo saying Mazatlán will crumble 4-0 bucket. So Ricardo very confident in that one. He's also saying Ivan has a baby bathtub in the background. I do, actually. We just showered him. We just kind of threw it back there, just kind of in the mix of it all. So you guys can enjoy my son's bathtub right there. No, we'll get that all sorted out for next week. Podcast, but give me your prediction, Chris, for the game on tomorrow.
I'm going 2-1. I feel like we see kind of that.
We just completely hyped it up, and you're gonna give me a 2-1.
Look, what I want them to do and what I kind of expect are two different things, right? I do think we're gonna see kind of that slump, you know, that sleepwalking. I think we see a different team against Cruz Azul. That's where I'm more hopeful for, because I think stylistically that's a team that's going to kind of force you to wake up just with the way Cruz Azul is playing. Mazatlán, I'm not going to sit here and underestimate them, but I just don't think they're going to go out there with the thought of thinking they're superior enough to beat us. So I think América wins a 2-1. I think a goal gets scored and we get woken up type thing. But I just don't think a weekday game against Mazatlán was exactly going to wake us up completely. So I'll go with a 2-1.
All right. Well, you make a compelling argument. We'll see whether or not. I'm a little bit more optimistic here, which is kind of a rare thing for me to say. And I do think that the América side is capable of kind of besting Mazatlán and finding that spark again. And look, I know that it's going to come with rotations, but I don't know. I sense that something's finally going to click for this side, and hopefully it means that America walks away with not just the 3 points, but a very compelling win that will kind of push us and edge us onto the game against Cruz Azul, and where we're all going to be like, okay, we're finally starting to see America kick into gear, which is going to be important because that Cruz Azul game is not going to be easy. So we'll see what happens. Chris Ramirez saying 3-1, lock it in. So locking in all our scores here. I'm going 3-0. I'm going optimistic. I think we're capable of scoring goals, looking good, and just leave it at that. America 3, Mazatlán 0. Let's hopefully get a good result and then kind of keep it going. Cause like I mentioned, the game's coming thick and fast for America. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, like I mentioned, that game is going to be on TUDN and Unimás. So if you guys want to watch that, your guys' source of watching that is going to be that. Edgar's saying 2-1 for America, so he joins you, Chris, on that aspect of America winning by a small margin. So we'll see what happens there. Anything else to add on before we wrap it up here?
No, I think that's all. It's not too hectic outside of the stock world, right? So that's it.
Yeah, from everything stock market related. I have learned new terms that I have never known in my entire life in the past couple of weeks. So, I guess it's time to go home. It's time to go just kind of wrap it up, go to bed and kind of rest, and then know that America did well in the stock market. And hopefully, America does well against Mazatlan tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully, man, or else we're going to be playing the Banda Recodo. Oh, no, we're at home. Never mind. They're not.
Yeah, no. Yeah. We're at home.
Yeah.
We're going to be good. We're going to be fine. We're going to be good. In Jardine, yeah. We must try. Hopefully. We'll see. Ricardo saying, Ivan, the Wolf of Wall Street. I feel like that. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel very Wolf of Wall Street after everything I've learned. But yeah, that's pretty much it. But all right, we'll wrap it up here. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of America, as we did today with the stock market and everything else. And then tomorrow, we'll keep you guys up to date with, again, America versus Mazatlan. AJ is going to have some gifts ready. That isn't if he falls asleep like the last game, Chris.
He was so high that Henry Martin went in that he knocked out.
Yeah. The excitement was too much. He couldn't contain it. He had to go to sleep. But I do feel for the guys over there because their games are so later. Like for us, it's like it's a 7 o'clock game. Like, you know, big whoop doo doo. So
he's in the chat.
AJ is like putting me on blast. Yeah, absolutely, AJ. But hey, AJ, we love you. Thank you so much for all the hard work you put in. I know that our listeners and our followers appreciate all the gifts and all the goal reactions. So you know, I'm sure we're all gonna be tuning in tomorrow to see whether or not AJ makes it for the entirety of the America versus Mazatlan game. So hopefully there's a couple of goals to keep him awake. With that said, Chris, thank you so much for taking out the time and talking all things Club America. We'll be back on next week to talk more America stuff. And then I guess we'll speak during the weekend as well, as we have a very special podcast to record.
Yes, sir. And I'll be here on the next podcast to talk about how Azul is in a rival again. Yeah. Made up hatred from their side.
Absolutely, absolutely. As Mbappe would say, I will be there. Absolutely. Alrighty then. Well, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you guys so much for everyone, all the listeners, everyone that's interacting, whether it was Ricardo, AJ, Chris, Edgar, Midwestern Cholo. Thank you so much to all of you guys. If I'm missing anyone, my apologies. Miguel Myers as well. So again, thank you guys so much. It's been great. It's been fun. And hopefully we get to do it again next week. Talk all things Club America. With that said, you guys have a wonderful time. Take care. And as always, Arriba la America.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast. And get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.